get there. Thank you.
And welcome. We're really glad to have you here worshiping the Lord together. Stuart has a few announcements to get us started.
Morning, everybody. A little update on our sound system. Lee was down here with a technician the other day for about 6 hours. It's not fixed yet. It is better. It is not going to be the wireless mics from what we can tell. It's going to be a wiring problem. So that's kind of good news, I think. So we're going to go forward on that. Next Sunday is the first Sunday of the month, and therefore we have food drives, and we will have our communion Sunday also. The following Monday will be Labor Day, and we're going to have a cookout, and we're going to have fish tacos. There's a sign-up sheet back there, so if you can, please sign up so we know how much food to prepare, how many people are going to be here. And I think probably we need helpers too, Beth. Yeah, if you're willing to help set up, clean up, anything like that. This week, because of the holidays, there's going to be a few items that are going to be postponed. There will be no sneakers on Wednesday or Labor Day. They will be here Monday and Friday this week. There is no Bible study on Wednesday with Tom, and there is no summer seeking on Thursday with Debbie. And Sandy gave me a flyer here. Faith Presbyterian is going to be hosting a missionary from the Orient, and it's going to be on September 29th. They are going to be selling tickets for $10. So if you want to attend, see Sandy, and she will sell you the tickets. Yes?
Could I elaborate on that?
Sure.
I didn't know I'd be here this morning. So what it is, he's from Myanmar, and he is an international peacemaker, and I am on the Peace and Justice Committee for the Presbytery. And so every year we sponsor a peacemaker to come. And this year, as he's going to be at Faith Church, he will be preaching there. But what he's talking about, the $10, at 11:30, they're going to have a lunch. And they have a cater and also do good, very good, you know, with the lunches. And so that's what that's for. And then he will do a class after the lunch. So Sandy has the tickets, and I'd like, you know, have church here, and then by 11:30, we can get to Faith. And we'd really like to have people turn out to hear him. These peacemakers, so far, I've been associated or, you know, helped with about three of them, and they're just fantastic people, and it's really good to hear about another part of the world, what the Christian faith, what the Presbyterian Church, and other churches too, are doing in other parts of the world and what their needs are. So think about it. I'll make another announcement about it. Okay? Thank you.
Thanks, Diane. Stuart mentioned my regular Bible study this Wednesday at 10 o'clock. The reason we're skipping this Wednesday is we finished going through the book of Ephesians. We want to start a study on the Gospel of Mark. And we thought we'd start that in September, so we had a week in between. So no study this week, but we'd love to have you. If you're interested in knowing more about Jesus in the Gospel of Mark, we'd love to have you join us on Wednesdays at 10 o'clock starting next week. Okay, based upon statistics that were published a number of years ago, do not ride in a car. Cars cause 20% of all fatal accidents. Do not stay at home. 17% of all fatal accidents happen at home. Do not walk in the street. 15% of all fatal accidents happen to pedestrians. Do not travel by air, rail, or water. 16% of all fatal accidents result from these activities. Only 1/1000th of a percent of fatal accidents happen in church. So obviously, church is the right place to be. So as we prepare our hearts for worship, thank the Lord for watching over us and for his presence with us.
Please remain standing for the unison prayer of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we rejoice that we can come into your house today and worship you with those who love you too. Thank you for inspiring and leading your people to establish your house here in this place. We pray that all who worship here may experience your love, grace, mercy, and forgiveness. We pray for your people all the world over, and we pray that they might prosper along with us as we serve you and others. Amen. You may be seated.
So we're having the offering now. Lord, again, we thank you for this opportunity to give to you, that we come to worship, to receive from you, to receive the encouragement, the strength that we need as we go about this week. But we also come to serve you, and giving back to you these gifts is a part of the way we serve. We pray that you would put it upon our hearts, though, as well, to understand that it's not just writing a check or putting a little bit from our wallet into the offering plate that fulfills our duty of serving you, but remind us as we go out from here at the end of this service, into the week ahead, that we go out to serve you in our daily lives as well. So equip us and prepare us for this kind of service. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We have some special music this morning from Beth Mabee and Lee Carlson. Before we pray, I wanted to mention that today, that this week, Beth is retiring. And she has served here for a number of years. I forget how many years. But it's been just such a wonderful part of this church and the ministry of this church. She's been, in a lot of ways, the creativity of this church. She has been tremendous in terms of tech and those kinds of things, and just been a wonderful person to work with. And she is going to stay on in as a contract kind of person, helping us out still, doing some of the things that we are very dependent upon, and she's agreed to stay on in that way. But I would love for us just to give her an applause for all the wonderful work she's done. Thank you, Beth. Let's pray. Lord God, I do thank you for Beth. And I thank you for the opportunity she has to retire, to enjoy a little more travel, a little more freedom. But thank you for the gifts, the strengths, the qualities that she has, and that we will not be missing those entirely, that she'll stay on and help us. So thank you for that. And I just pray for your continued care for her and your blessings upon her life. Lord, we pray for Joyce Hewitt, facing some more struggles with memory, and for Jerry and for Joyce, watch over them. Be the strength, the peace that they need in this tough challenge in their lives. And I know others in our church family who are struggling with memory issues and the challenges those are to one's life, to one's spouse, and pray for each and every person who is battling those kinds of struggles on a daily basis. We pray for rain for our area. We need rain, and we have been deprived of that this summer, and we pray that you'd bring us the rain that we need, and pray for those who make decisions about the water supply within our state. Pray that you'd guide them and give them wisdom. We pray for Bob and Linda Johnson as they've been up in Oregon, helping to take care of Linda's daughter, Tammy. Pray that you continue to guide Tammy's recuperation and watch over Linda and Bob. We thank you that Hazel Bacon is continuing to get better, and pray that you continue to watch over her, give to her the strength that she needs each day. We pray for those who struggle with chronic pain. We lift up particularly Beverly Brooks and Doris Stainbrook, but know that others as well have that kind of ongoing battle, and we pray for your care for them. Pray for Ham and Bunny Geisberg. Thank you for them celebrating their 75th anniversary. Thank you for the love they'd shared in all those years together, and bless them, keep their love growing ever stronger. Pray for Greg Wilson's family as Greg passed away on Thursday. His battle with cancer. I thank you that six of his nine siblings were out here from various parts of the country, and thank you for the way they were able to love and care for Greg and each other. Pray for your comfort for each of them. And Lord, we pray for Carol Maxwell as she's getting ready to go in for beginning step of the cochlear implant for her hearing. Pray that all would go well with that, and watch over her during this process. Lord, we pray for the people and the ministries of St. Christopher Episcopal Church. Bless that church. And we pray for Justice Center as they've been struggling, maybe not able to survive. I pray that you would provide them with the funds that they need to keep that ministry going of caring for elderly, homeless people in this area. And Lord, we pray for you to grow in us your goodness so that we respond to the things we encounter this week and beyond with integrity and with compassion. Grow your goodness in us. We pray all of these things in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And let's remain seated, but sing together, "With Joy I Heard My Friends Exclaim." It's a song I'm not familiar with, but it's a song based upon the scripture we're going to take a look at this morning, Psalm 122, so we're going to give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
Our first scripture reading today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 41 through 49, the boy Jesus in the temple. Now every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" Let us pray. Loving God, you have so made us that we cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth. Give us a hunger for your word, and in that food, satisfy our daily need through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
For those of you who are new here or haven't been here for a little while, we've begun a study of the Psalms of Ascent. There are a set of 15 psalms in the book of Psalms that the Jewish people would sing on their way up to Jerusalem, on the different pilgrimages they would go to. These are the songs that they would sing. We started this a couple weeks ago, so this is the third now of the Psalms of Ascent. And the passage that Beth read to us of Jesus in the temple, I think is kind of almost living proof of this psalm in the life of Jesus. This particular psalm was written by David. Most of the Psalms of Ascent were not by David, but this is one of the Psalms of Ascent that is David's. He wrote, "I rejoiced with those who said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.' Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord according to the statute given to Israel. There the thrones for judgment stand, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your gates and security within your citadels. For the sake of my brothers and my friends, I will say, 'Peace be within you.' For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity." This is the word of the Lord. David begins this psalm with this exclamation, "I rejoiced with those who said to me, 'Let us go to,'" and before we finish that sentence, I just want to ask you, if somebody was going to invite you somewhere, what place would cause you to react like David did? That you would rejoice, what place would you rejoice about the chance to go to? Any thoughts?
The spa.
The spa. The ocean. Especially on a week when we're going to be back up into 110 or 111 degrees again. The ocean would be real nice. Where else? The mountains, somebody said? The mountains. Cooler in the mountains. Debbie and I were in Sedona the last couple nights and came back down here. Any other thoughts? Well, keep that in your mind. But there are two places that came to my mind immediately. I would be thrilled if somebody would say to me, Tom, let's go to Yosemite National Park. I always get a thrill whenever I drive through. We usually go on Highway 120, and you drive down 120, and then you go through a tunnel, and you come out of that tunnel, and you get your first glimpse of the valley, and those towering peaks, and those beautiful waterfalls. Yosemite is a place where I've had such wonderful memories. Hikes up to the top of Half Dome, swimming at the top of Yosemite Falls, getting drenched on the Mist Trail, having a bear sniff my feet as I lay in my sleeping bag, skating on the ice rink under the winter stars, and playing cards under lamplight with friends and family during the summer. Yosemite always fills me with a sense of delight, of joy over memories I've had there and anticipation of memories to come every time I go there. And the other place that comes to my mind that I would rejoice if anybody would say to me, Tom, let us go to your home where you grew up, our home on Golden Gate Avenue in Oakland, California. When my mom was alive, every trip to that home was filled with her love. And it also always filled my stomach with her delicious baking. My mom always welcomed me warmly by saying to me, calling me the light of her life and the joy of her heart. In later years, she often repeated the same stories many times. But I never tired of hearing those stories because every telling of those stories was filled with her love, with her affirmation, and with her joy. Though that house has been sold and it was gutted and remade entirely, I still get a thrill driving past that house because it still remains filled with all these wonderful memories of my mom's love. This reminiscing helps me to understand and to appreciate what David is getting at in the psalm. When he says, I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to, he did not say Yosemite National Park or Tom's boyhood home. What he said is, I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. But I truly believe that the same kinds of things that I spoke of with these places that thrill me to have the chance to go to are what David is getting at in that opening line to this psalm. Coming to the Lord's house to worship is in many ways like going to Yosemite National Park. We get the opportunity to behold a beauty that is beyond our natural experience. Coming to the Lord's house to worship opens our souls to something greater than ourselves. Worship fills us with the anticipation of great things to come. In worship, our senses spring to life, and our hearts leap within us. That's a bit of what David had in mind. And coming to the house of the Lord to worship is like coming home to the one who welcomes us warmly and who assures us that we are the apple of his eye and the joy of his heart. Yes, we may hear stories again and again, but each of those stories is constantly filled with the reminder of God's love for us. Worship connects us with the true source of love in our lives. This also is a part of what David has in mind when he says to us, I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. The house of worship is one of the greatest places that we can be. And this psalm tells us at least a couple of reasons why that is the case. One reason is shared in verse 3, but it may take a little bit of explanation to understand what's behind that. In verse 3, David tells us that Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. Part of my experience in Jerusalem was walking along the walls, the old walls of the city. As you walk along those old walls of the city, you look down on houses. And a number of the houses that I looked down on had no roof. Again, just kind of that ventilation. They took the roof off, so you'd look down into the house and see somebody's house, their bedroom and such, just right out there into the open air. That's not what David has in mind when he says this is a city that is closely compacted together. The primary issue is not architectural, but relational. It is not the layout of the roads and the buildings, but the unity of the people that David is referring to. The root of the word translated here as closely compacted together is the Hebrew word haver. It means friend or comrade. It has to do with someone who is very close to you. It has the connotation of joining together two persons or joining together two things. The same root was used in Exodus 26, verse 11, to describe the curtains of the temple being joined together as one. The word is still used today in modern Hebrew to indicate great affection between two people. Derek Prince explains the significance of this. He writes, so the basis of unity of God's people is not that they meet together in a church building. It is not that they attend a certain place of worship. It's not even that they subscribe to certain forms of doctrine. But the real basis, that which closely compacts God's people together, that which makes them truly one, is an interpersonal commitment between each member and each other member. They are comrades. They are fellows. They are committed to the Lord, and they are committed to one another. The mortar that binds God's people together in true unity is not doctrine. It's not the time or place of a meeting, but it's that personal commitment, heart to heart, that makes each of us fellows, comrades, brothers and sisters, members of the same home, members of the same family, committed one to another. The fellowship of God's people coming together to worship together binds us together, and it enables an individual's life to be held together. In his book about the Psalms of Ascent, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction, Eugene Peterson explains, as I entered a home to make a pastoral visit, the person I came to see was sitting at a window embroidering a piece of cloth held taut over an oval hoop. She said, Pastor, while waiting for you to come, I realized what's wrong with me. I don't have a frame. My feelings, my thoughts, my activities, everything is loose and sloppy. There is no border to my life. I never know where I am. I need a frame for my life, like this one I have for my embroidery. Then Eugene Peterson goes on and says, how do we get that framework, that sense of solid structure, so that we know where we stand and are therefore able to do our work easily and without anxiety. Christians go to worship. Week by week, we enter the place compactly built to which the tribes go up and get a working definition for life, the way God created us, the ways in which he leads us. We know where we stand. Worship within the family of believers, with people who care about us and who encourage us in our lives, provides a frame that helps to hold our lives together. Sometimes, in fact, it becomes a lifesaver. F. Arlen Nave shares one example. He writes, "One time when Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the great Russian author, was in a Soviet prison in Siberia, he was exhausted from the hard labor, weak from starvation, and suffering from an untreated illness. He felt that he could not go on. He stopped working, knowing that the guards would beat him severely and maybe even kill him. Then another prisoner, a follower of Christ, took his shovel and in the sand at the feet of Solzhenitsyn drew the sign of the cross and then quickly erased it. Solzhenitsyn says that the hope and the courage of the gospel flooded his soul and it enabled him to hold on." And then Nave adds, "Was he saved by the sign of the cross? Yes. But was he not also saved that day by that caring fellow, a Christian person who cared enough to remind him of hope? Of course he was. Even in a Siberian prison, even with a call to worship as brief as a drawing of a cross in the sand and then immediately erasing it, life-saving hope was passed along from one believer to another. Worship provides the security and the hope that we need in our lives. No wonder David declares, 'I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord.'" Another reason why worship is one of the greatest places on earth to be is shared in verses 6 through 9, where David says, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my brothers and friends, I will say, peace be with you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity." The word peace comes up three times in these four verses. It comes up in verse 6 and in verse 7 as a prayer. It comes up in verse 8 as a blessing. And actually, if you look at these words more closely, you'll find that it comes up one other time in verse 6, because the word Jerusalem means place of peace, possession of peace. Peace is what David seeks for Jerusalem, and peace is what David finds in Jerusalem. J. Oswald Sanders has observed, "Peace is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of God." That's what David loves about Jerusalem. Jerusalem is where David goes to worship God. Jerusalem is where David goes to be in the presence of God. Jerusalem is where David goes to find the peace of God. Peace is both what we pray for, and it is the fruit that comes from worshiping God. Chuck Swindoll points out, "What comes from the Lord because it is impossible for humans to manufacture it. Wisdom. What comes from humans because it is impossible for the Lord to experience it? Worry. And what is it that brings wisdom and dispels worry? Worship. I think that's a wonderful perspective. That's what worship does for us. It dispels worry. It brings us wisdom. It brings us strength. It brings us courage. And it brings us peace. Worship enables the peace of God to grow within our hearts. For worship brings us closer to the God of peace. In his book, Reversed Thunder, Eugene Peterson remarks, "Failure to worship consigns us to a life of spasms and jerks, at the mercy of every advertisement, every seduction, every siren. Without worship, we live manipulated and manipulating lives. We move in either frightened panic or deluded lethargy, as we are, in turn, alarmed by specters and soothed by placebos. If there is no center, there is no circumference. People who do not worship are swept into a vast restlessness, epidemic in the world, with no steady direction and no sustaining purpose." Worship is our rescue. Worship directs our souls to the peace of God because it draws our souls to the God of peace. No wonder David declares, "I rejoiced with those who said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for how you, as a boy, loved to be in the house of worship. Thank you, that's a model to us. Thank you for how David found worship to be so vital to his life. Thank you that in worship we meet the God of peace and find the peace of God. And thank you that in worship our lives are held together with a proper boundary, a proper frame that fills us with hope and strength and security. Lord, keep drawing us back to you, to worship you with fellow believers who encourage us and help us, and with fellow believers whom we can encourage and help as well. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our friend. Amen. Let's stand and sing together. As a benediction, I want to remind us again of those words of Psalm 122. I rejoiced with those who said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, O Jerusalem." Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord according to the statute given to Israel. There the thrones for judgment stand, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Israel. May all who love you dwell in security. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my friends and brothers, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will strive for seek its prosperity. May all God's people say, Amen. Amen.